Chapter 60. Because if there is, you know, apostrophe said Jonas, ask him. We don't want to make a secret of it. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Pecksniff, after a little reflection. I am not the less obliged to you on that account, Mr. Jonas, for your liberal hospitality, but there really is no one. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe said Jonas. Then you, and I, and Chuffy, and the doctor, will be just a coachful. We'll have the doctor, Pecksniff, because he knows what was the matter with him, and that it couldn't be helped. Apostrophe, where is our dear friend, Mr. Chuffy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Pecksniff, looking round the chamber, and winking both his eyes at once, for he was overcome by his feelings. But here he was interrupted by Mrs. Gamp, who, divested of her bonnet and shawl, came sidling and bridling into the room, and with some sharpness, demanded a conference outside the door with Mr. Pecksniff. You may say whatever you wish to say here, Mrs. Gamp, apostrophe said that gentleman, shaking his head with a melancholy expression. It is not much as I have to say when people is a mourning for the dead and gone, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp. But what I have to say, is to the pint and purpose, and no offense intended, must be so considered. I have been at a many places in my time, gentlemen, and I hope I knows what my duties is, and how the same should be performed. In course, if I did not, it would be very strange, and very wrong in such a gentleman as Mr. Mould, which has undertook the highest families in this land, and given every satisfaction, so to recommend me as he does. I have seen a deal of trouble my own self, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, laying greater and greater stress upon her words, and I can feel for them as has their feelings tried, but I am not a Russian or a Prussian, and consequently cannot suffer spies to be set over me. Apostrophe, before it was possible that an answer could be returned, Mrs. Gamp, growing redder in the face, went on to say, it is not an easy matter, gentlemen, to live when you are left a widow woman, particular when your feelings works upon you to that extent that you often find yourself a going out on terms which is a certain loss, and never can repay. But in whatever way you earns your bread, you may have rules and regulations of your own which cannot be broke through. Some people, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, again entrenching herself behind her strong point, as if it were not assailable by human ingenuity, may be Russians, and others may be Prussians. They are born so, and will please themselves. Them which is of other matters thinks different. Apostrophe, if I understand this good lady, apostrophe said Mr. Pecksniff, turning to Jonas, Mr. Chuffy is troublesome to her. Shall I fetch him down? Apostrophe, do, apostrophe said Jonas. I was going to tell you he was up there, when she came in. I'd go myself, and bring him down, only I'd rather you went, if you don't mind. Apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff promptly departed, followed by Mrs. Gamp, who, seeing that he took a bottle and glass from the cupboard, and carried it in his hand, was much softened. I am sure, apostrophe she said, that if it wasn't for his own happiness, I should no more mind him being there, poor dear, than if he was a fly. But them as isn't used to these things, thinks so much of em afterwards, that it's a kindness to em, not to let em have their wish. And even, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, probably in reference to some flowers of speech she had already strewn on Mr. Chuffy, even if one calls em names, it's only done to rouse em. Apostrophe, whatever epithets she had bestowed on the old clerk, they had not roused him. He sat beside the bed, in the chair he had occupied all the previous night, with his hands folded before him, and his head bowed down, and neither looked up, on their entrance, nor gave any sign of consciousness, until Mr. Pecksniff took him by the arm, when he meekly rose. 70, apostrophe said Chuffy, on and carry 7. Some men are so strong, that they live to 4 score 4 times odds and odd, 4 times 2's and 8 80. Oh! Why didn't he live to 4 times Zanot, and 4 times 2 Zanate, 80? Ah, what a wail of grief! Cried Mrs. Gamp, possessing herself of the bottle and glass. Why did he die before his poor old crazy servant? Said Chuffy, clasping his hands and looking up in anguish. Take him from me, and what remains? Mr. Jonas, returned Pecksniff, Mr. Jonas, my good friend. I loved him, cried the old man, weeping. He was good to me. We learned tear and tret together at school. I took him down once, 6 boys in the arithmetic class. God forgive me. Had I the heart to take him down? Come, Mr. Chuffy, said Pecksniff. Come with me. Summon up your fortitude, Mr. Chuffy. Yes, I will, returned the old clerk. Yes. I'll sum up my 40, how many times 40, oh, Chuzzlewit and son, your own son, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Your own son, sir. He yielded to the hand that guided him, as he lapsed into this familiar expression, and submitted to be led away. Mrs. Gamp, with the bottle on one knee, and the glass on the other, sat upon the stool, shaking her head for a long time, until, in a moment of abstraction, she poured out a dram of spirits, and raised it to her lips. It was succeeded by a second, and by a third, and then her eyes, either in the sadness of her reflections upon life and death, or in her admiration of the liquor, were so turned up, as to be quite invisible. But she shook her head still. Poor Chuffy was conducted to his accustomed corner, and there he remained, silent and quiet, save at long intervals, when he would rise, and walk about the room, and wring his hands, or raise some strange and sudden cry. For a whole week they all three sat about the hearth, and never stirred abroad. Mr. Pecksniff would have walked out in the evening time, but Mr. Jonas was so averse to his being absent for a minute, that he abandoned the idea, and so, from morning until night, they brooded together in the dark room, without relief or occupation. The weight of that which was stretched out, stiff and stark, in the awful chamber above stairs, so crushed and bore down Jonas, that he bent beneath the load. During the whole long 7 days and nights, he was always oppressed and haunted by a dreadful sense of its presence in the house. Did the door move, he looked towards it with a livid face and starting eye, as if he fully believed that ghostly fingers clutched the handle. Did the fire flicker in a draught of air, he glanced over his shoulder, as almost dreading to behold some shrouded figure fanning and flapping at it with its fearful dress. The lightest noise disturbed him. And once, in the night, at the sound of a footstep overhead, he cried out that the dead man was walking tramp, tramp, tramp about his coffin. He lay at night upon a mattress on the floor of the sitting room, his own chamber having been assigned to Mrs. Gamp, and Mr. Pecksniff was similarly accommodated. The howling of a dog before the house filled him with a terror he could not disguise. He avoided the reflection in the opposite windows of the light that burned above, as though it had been an angry eye. He often, in every night, rose up from his fitful sleep, and looked and longed for dawn. All directions and arrangements, even to the ordering of their daily meals, he abandoned to Mr. Pecksniff. That excellent gentleman, deeming that the mourner wanted comfort, and that high feeding was likely to do him infinite service, availed himself of these opportunities to such good purpose, that they kept quite a dainty table during this melancholy season, with sweetbreads, stewed kidneys, oysters, and other such light viands for supper every night, over which, and sundry jorums of hot punch, Mr. Pecksniff delivered such moral reflections, and spiritual consolation as might have converted a heathen, especially if he had had but an imperfect acquaintance with the English tongue. Nor did Mr. Pecksniff alone indulge in the creature comforts during this sad time. Mrs. Gamp proved to be very choice in her eating, and repudiated hash mutton with scorn. In her drinking too, she was very punctual and particular, requiring a pint of mild porter at lunch, a pint at dinner, half a pint as a species of stay or holdfast between dinner and tea, and a pint of the celebrated staggering ale, or real old Brighton tipper, at supper, besides the bottle on the chimney piece, and such casual invitations, to refresh herself with wine as the good breeding of her employers might prompt them to offer. In like manner, Mr. Mould's men found it necessary to drown their grief, like a young kitten in the morning of its existence, for which reason they generally fuddled themselves, before they began to do anything, lest it should make head, and get the better of them. In short, the whole of that strange week was a round of dismal joviality and grim enjoyment, and everyone, except poor Chuffy, who came within the shadow of Anthony Chuzzlewit's grave, feasted like a ghoul. At length the day of the funeral, pious and truthful ceremony that it was, arrived. Mr. Mould, with a glass of generous port between his eye and the light, leaned against the desk in the little glass office with his gold watch in his unoccupied hand, and conversed with Mrs. Gamp. Two mutes were at the house door, looking as mournful as could be reasonably expected of men with such a thriving job in hand. The whole of Mr. Mould's establishment were on duty within the house or without. Feathers waved, horses snorted, silk and velvets fluttered. In a word, as Mr. Mould emphatically said, everything that money could do was done. Apostrophe, and what can do more, Mrs. Gamp? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the undertaker as he emptied his glass, and smacked his lips. Nothing in the world, sir. Apostrophe, nothing in the world, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Mould. You are right, Mrs. Gamp. Why do people spend more money here? He filled his glass again upon a death, Mrs. Gamp, than upon a birth. Come, that's in your way. You ought to know. How do you account for that now? Apostrophe, perhaps it is because an undertaker's charges comes dearer than a nurse's charges, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, tittering, and smoothing down her new black dress with her hands. Ha, ha, apostrophe, apostrophe, laughed Mr. Mould. You have been break-facing at somebody's expense this morning, Mrs. Gamp. Apostrophe, but seeing, by the aid of a little shaving glass which hung opposite, that he looked merry, he composed his features and became sorrowful. Many's the time that I've not break-faced it at my own expense along of your recommending, sir, and many's the time I hope to do the same in time to come, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, with an apologetic curtsy. So be it, apostrophe, replied Mr. Mould, please Providence. No, Mrs. Gamp, I'll tell you why it is. It's because the laying out of money with a well-conducted establishment, where the thing is performed upon the very best scale, binds the broken heart, and sheds balm upon the wounded spirit. Hearts want binding, and spirits want balming when people die, not when people are born. Look at this gentleman today, look at him. Apostrophe, an open-handed gentleman? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Gamp, with enthusiasm. No, no, apostrophe, said the undertaker. Not an open-handed gentleman in general, by any means. There you mistake him, but an afflicted gentleman, an affectionate gentleman, who knows what it is in the power of money to do, in giving him relief, and in testifying his love and veneration for the departed. It can give him, apostrophe, said Mr. Mould, waving his watch chain slowly round and round, so that he described one circle after every item. It can give him four horses to each vehicle. It can give him velvet trappings. It can give him drivers in cloth cloaks and top boots. It can give him the plumage of the ostrich, dyed black. It can give him any number of walking attendants, dressed in the first style of funeral fashion, and carrying batons tipped with brass. It can give him a handsome tomb. It can give him a place in Westminster Abbey itself, if he choose to invest it in such a purchase. Oh! Do not let us say that gold is dross, when it can buy such things as these, Mrs. Gamp. Apostrophe, but what a blessing, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, that there are such as you, to sell or let them out on hire. apostrophe apostrophe I, Mrs. Gamp, you are right, apostrophe rejoined the undertaker. We should be an honored calling. We do good by stealth, and blush to have it mentioned in our little bills. How much consolation may I even I, apostrophe cried Mr. Mould, have diffused among my fellow creatures by means of my four long-tailed prancers, never harnessed under 10 pun 10. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp had begun to make a suitable reply, when she was interrupted by the appearance of one of Mr. Mould's assistants, his chief mourner in fact an obese person, with his waistcoat in closer connection with his legs, than is quite reconcilable with the established ideas of grace, with that cast of feature which is figuratively called a bottlenose, and with a face, covered all over with pimples. He had been a tender plant once upon a time, but from constant blowing in the fat atmosphere of funerals, had run to seed. Well, Tacker, apostrophe said Mr. Mould, is already below? Apostrophe, a beautiful show, sir, apostrophe rejoined Tacker. The horses are prouder and fresher than ever I see 'em, and toss their heads, they do, as if they knowed how much their plumes cost. 1, 2, 3, 4, apostrophe said Mr. Tacker, heaping that number of black cloaks upon his left arm. Is Tom there, with the cake and wine? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Mould. Ready to come in at a moment's notice, sir, apostrophe said Tacker. Then, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Mould, putting up his watch, and glancing at himself in the little shaving glass, that he might be sure his face had the right expression on it. Then I think we may proceed to business. Give me the paper of gloves, Tacker. Ah, what a man he was. Ah, Tacker, Tacker, what a man he was. Apostrophe, Mr. Tacker, who from his great experience in the performance of funerals, would have made an excellent pantomime actor, winked at Mrs. Gamp without at all disturbing the gravity of his countenance, and followed his master into the next room. It was a great point with Mr. Mould, and a part of his professional tact, not to seem to know the doctor, though in reality they were near neighbors, and very often, as in the present instance, worked together. So he advanced to fit on his black kid gloves, as if he had never seen him in all his life, while the doctor, on his part, looked as distant and unconscious as if he had heard and read of undertakers, and had passed their shops, but had never before been brought into communication with one. Gloves, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe said the doctor. Mr. Pecksniff after you. Apostrophe, I couldn't think of it, apostrophe returned Mr. Pecksniff. You are very good, apostrophe said the doctor, taking a pair. Well, sir, as I was saying, I was called up to attend that case at about 1:30. Cake and wine, eh? Which is port. Thank you. Apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff took some also. At about 1:30 in the morning, sir, apostrophe resumed the doctor, I was called up to attend that case. At the first pull of the night bell I turned out, threw up the window, and put out my head. Cloak, eh? Don't tie it too tight. That'll do. Apostrophe, Mr. Pecksniff having been likewise inducted into a similar garment, the doctor resumed. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.